Hello, everyone. This is Hacker Public Radio, and today we have a special guest from Mocha 5. If you'd please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm John Whaley. I'm one of the founders of Mocha 5.
And could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I graduated from Stanford with my PhD in computer science, and Mocha 5 was actually a research project at Stanford. It was called the Collective. Before that, I had worked at IBM Japan for a little while, and before that, I graduated from my undergrad at MIT.
Pretty darn sporty. Let's see, what exactly is Mocha 5?
So Mocha 5, what we do is we have a complete desktop lifecycle management solution that we deliver as a managed service. Our technology enables IT administrators to easily manage virtual computing environments, while at the same time giving end users the freedom to work any way and anywhere that they want using any operating system on any PC.
Are you reading these questions or these answers, or do you pulling that out of the top of your head?
No.
Okay. Well, you said it started from this paper called The Collective. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure.
And remember that we have all ranges of technical knowledge of people that are listening to the show.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
So the Collective was this research project in the Stanford Computer Science Department, and the goal of this Collective project was really to make computing a lot easier. We saw a lot of people having a lot of pain administering their machines, keeping them up to date, keeping them from free of spyware and malware. And so there's just a lot of pain around system administration and keeping computers working. And so what we did is we kind of took a look at this problem and thought there's got to be a better way to do this. And so we came up with this idea of using virtual machines to help with system administration. And so the idea is you run everything on top of a virtual machine, and we have a special virtual machine format called a live PC. And this live PC has these three key features. First of all, has an automatic update to the latest version, so the users will always be running the latest version. The second thing is it has an intelligent streaming and caching system, so that users can get started quickly and also work offline. Once they have the whole image, they can disconnect from the network and keep working. And the third key feature is the smart rejuvenation. So every time you start up, you get a fresh copy of the OS and the applications, but your user data, which is your documents and settings, that will persist. And so this live PC provides an easy way for the IT administrator to administer a large number of users, while at the same time it gives the end user the freedom to work however they want, where they want. You can run any x86 operating system on top, and it works exactly the same.
Okay, now your client runs on Windows and it runs on OS X. Do you all have a Linux client?
So we have a version called Bare Metal, and what it is it's a Linux client that's bundled with a stripped down Linux OS and kernel, and so you can install that directly onto the machine, and it will boot up, and then you'll have a list of live PCs there, and then you can just use it to launch these live PCs.
And you get the live PCs. It's all off your website, and I actually installed the Bare Metal installer, and you can browse through and look at all kind of different stuff. I actually found it through Haiku, which is a derivative from the BOS, and it's really neat to be able to, whenever they have an update, that it's automatically there, and I'm running it, and I don't have to download the ISO and burn it to a CD and then run it. So it's really cool stuff.
That's great. Yeah, we have on our website we have this live PC library, and this is all community contributed with these live PCs that people have built, and there's hundreds of these community contributed live PCs, and it's mostly free and open source software, and we get a lot of people using it just to play around with different OSs and kind of just see what people have done and have built, and it's really nice because we have people who are interested in things like Linux, but they didn't really know how to get into it or how to try it out. And so our system, using the Live PC, you just click once, you click on the website, you can just click to download it. It'll start streaming that virtual machine to you, and you can start it up before the entire thing has downloaded it. And you don't have to install anything or anything like that, and it all runs within this secure virtual environment. So we have a lot of users who use it just to try out Linux or try out some other alternative OSs.
Now, a lot of your users of Mocha 5 are just people that are just trying to play out with it, try out with things, play around with them. And obviously, y'all are trying to, this is a business, you're trying to make some money, and y'all want to do this at a business to help the administrators, administer things, for lack of a better word. Do y'all have any clients that are actually doing that, or are y'all still testing?
So we're planning to launch our company and our 1.0 products in second quarter of this year, so pretty soon. We have some companies in trials, doing some pilots and things like that, and there's a number of interesting uses of the technology right now that people are using it for. The first is a disaster recovery solution where, let's say you're an executive that has a laptop, carrying around a laptop, and something happens to that laptop. They can carry around a USB stick that has a Mocha 5 on it. They can then plug that into any PC that, they go to Best Buy or whatever to go buy a PC. They can just plug in the USB, and it has all the secure environment, including like the secure VPN and those kind of things, so they can kind of be up and running quickly again. We have a few people using it for customers using it for disaster recovery. Another big one is lab management, where you have a computer lab. Maybe it's a training lab, maybe it's in a school, things like that, where you have a number of machines and an administrator needs to administer the software on those machines. And so what the administrator can do now is they just maintain one image, they maintain the one Live PC image, and that's automatically distributed to all of the different machines. So it makes their job a lot easier.
So also, instead of them having to go around and... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so the rejuvenation aspect means that... if somebody messes up the machine somehow and installs software or things like that, all they have to do is reboot, and then it always goes back to a pristine state. And whenever the administrator wants to post an update, there's some new hot fixes or a new versions of software, install new software, things like that. They just on their machine, they just start the Live PC, they install the software and test it out, make sure it works. And then they post it to the server, all of the clients, all the subscribers to that Live PC, automatically get the latest version and start running the latest version. So this makes it a lot easier to administer a large number of machines and keep them up to date and keep them working.
At the university I attended, they did this with Ghost, and they'd have to go around and physically ghost all the machines, and whenever there was an update, they had to make a new ghost image and all that mess, and this would really save them a lot of time. A reboot's a lot easier than actually sitting there.
Yeah, so, Ghost is really focused on the deployment aspect, that you want to deploy some image, but we're really focused much more on the entire life cycle. So it's like, beyond just deploying the image, you have to keep it up to date, keep it maintained, and all of these things. So that's, we're much more focused on this, on the whole life cycle of a desktop rather than just the initial deployment.
So what are some of the disadvantages of this model? Do you even want to say anything?
I think this is definitely a radical, radically different way of doing computing. Now you say, I'm going to run everything on top of a virtual machine, and I'm going to... And the virtual machine is automatically going to rejuvenate on every reboot, things like that. And so this works particularly well in the cases where you have a controlled desktop or a locked down desktop where you have people, basically you want to have a large number of computers that are kind of running pretty much the same software. You don't need to have a lot of customization on each machine. in that case, you know, they you really get this. You can use our system to get much better scale to you know, scale up to more more computers a lot easier. But like if you know, in the case where you have you know, like a lot of like. This is like, if the way I think about it, this is like, this is really the computer, is the type of system that works really well for people like my parents, or you know, my not so tech savvy friends who I always have to go and help out and, you know, go fix their printer because it doesn't print, or go clean up their system of spyware and things like that. This system works really well for those kind of cases.
Good deal. One of the disadvantages that I thought of as I was reading the paper on the collective was that y'all talked a lot about the security and how it would, you know, protect people's data, this, that, and the other. But I thought about the underlying operating system that's running the virtual machine. You have to walk around and actually physically secure all of those still on top of the image that y'all are hosting on the server.
Yeah, so that's why in the bare metal case, we use this Linux kernel that we've stripped out, like most of the services, and stripped out as much as possible, just to try to make that lowest level the most secure possible. I mean, for example, if you are running the Windows client, well, then you're still, you know, kind of subject to what the underlying Windows is to some extent, even though your live PC contains all the bits for the operating system, and you're actually running, you know, right off of those. You still, you know, for example, could potentially be subject to keyloggers or things like that on the underlying OS, or exploits in the underlying OS. And that's why for high security applications, we recommend the bare metal version, because that has better security because of the underlying Linux, stripped down Linux.
Good deal. What kind of open source software does Mocha 5 use, like in their office or in their product?
So, like in our product, we make use of a lot of open source libraries, like libcurl or libxml and wxwidgets. And those libraries really helped us out a lot because they made it a lot easier to build reliable cross-platform software. And in our day-to-day development, we use a lot of open-source development tools like Subversion or Cruise Control, Track, GCC, things like that. And this open-source software works really well for us because, first of all, it's cross-platform, and we have a cross-platform client. And we also use a lot of open-source software within live PCs. So if you see a lot of the open source software in the live PC library, you know, we use that quite a bit. There's some interesting software out there that we never would have realized until somebody posted it in a live PC and then we downloaded, tried it out, and found it to be really useful.
I was reading in the paper that y'all are doing authentication over SSH and using tunnels to securely send the data from the client to the server.
Uh-huh.
That was really neat.
Yeah. So the paper was published, I think, back in 2005, and we've since kind of moved beyond that and improved the system in various ways. So that was the first innovation that we had done at Stanford, and now we don't actually use the tunnel over SSH in most cases, just because of things like proxies, things like that. So for better compatibility, we, you know, use other techniques like HTTPS, things like that.
Good deal. Could y'all have started Mocha 5 without open source software?
We probably could have been able to start the company, but we wouldn't have been nearly as far along as we are today without open source software.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely accelerated our development and made things like that, the community-driven live PC library, possible. So we have definitely benefited from open source software.
Let's see, going down the list. are you planning on open sourcing any of y'all software that y'all write?
So our current like currently we're really focused on launching the company and just getting 1.0 out of the door. That being said, it's definitely not out of the question. I personally am a big open source proponent, and I've started and contributed a number of open source projects on SourceForge and some other sites. And Mocha5 itself is also a big proponent of open source, you know, with the community-driven LivePC library and really kind of helping to promote Linux on the desktop. And we get a lot of users who are interested in playing around with Linux but, you know, don't know where to start. And with Mocha5, you can play around with, you know, we make it really easy to play around with alternative operating systems in a safe way without having to install anything. So the so it's definitely not out of the question, and, you know, and I think that, you know, in the future, that at least some parts of our software may become open source.
Okay. Y'all are currently using VMware for your virtualization. Are y'all planning on building your own, continuing to use VMware, using some open source stuff?
So right now we partner with VMware and use their virtual machine monitor layer. And so right now we focus on VMware just because that one's really stable and it has good performance and it's cross-platform. However, the technology is really independent of the VMM layer. We could take out VMware and plug in another virtual machine monitor with very few changes to our system and to our code. And we just happen to be right now just focusing on VMware just because that one is one of the better virtual machine monitors. But if you look at what's happening in the virtualization space, there's definitely a lot of new VMMs that are appearing. You know, there's things like Xen, there's things like VirtualBox, for example, QEMU even. You know, a lot of these are free and some of them are open source. And so I think that in the future, this virtual machine monitor layer is really going to become like a commodity. Like you can use, there'll be a lot of them available, and you can use any of them. And we're much more focused on the kind of management of the virtual machines and keeping them up to date and keeping them working. And you know, it's kind of like once you have all of these virtual machines, what are you going to do with them? And so Mocha5 is really focused on that, you know, making it easy to manage virtual computing environments.
Good deal. So when are you going to take the Linux client out of the bare bones or bare metal installer and just let me download it and use it?
Well, I mean, it comes down to, you know, first of all, we wanted to really focus on the Windows client first because, honestly, that's where most of the pain is. And we do have the bare metal client, which has the Linux client bundled in with the stripped-down Linux OS. And it's just a matter of, you know, kind of question of priority and question of resources. But we're definitely interested in doing that. And I'm sure, you know, some of your listeners, for example, would probably be able to figure out how to take the bare metal and repackage it as a standalone client because it's just kind of in there and it shouldn't be that difficult.
Good deal, good deal. Well, do you have any questions or anything else you want to say? I know you need to get back to work.
Yeah. No, I think that pretty much covers it. So I just want to encourage your listeners to go and check us out at mocha5.com. That's mokafive.com. And we have a lot of live PCs there in our live PC library. You can try out and play around with. And thanks a lot for taking the time, and thanks a lot for your interest.
Hey, well, thanks for being on the big radio show.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.